We also bring you greetings in the name of Jesus Christ. We're again very glad to be here in the house of God. I thought I would, for the message, turn to Psalms 92. Psalms 92, there's a part of a sentence there that I'd like to lift out as the title for the message. And I thought I'd preach a message today about old age. Now, some of you young people might feel a little bit unmotivated as we go through this, I'm not sure, but I do want to assure you that there's also something here for you when we talk about old age. It has been some time just before a message that I have felt as unmotivated to preach as I did now. For being in the room back here, felt so unmotivated, and I was like, is old age really coming on or what? I'm not sure, but that song, Under His Wings, really spoke to me. And you know, that is really what it's all about. As we grow older, we feel more and more that we really need to be under those wings. I don't know exactly how Pop and Irvin feel. They would be more aged, you know, than what a lot of the rest of us are. But I intend this message to be one of encouragement and also a message to the young people of what is coming. There is no one that as life goes on that will not be confronted with this very thing that we're talking about, old age. And one thing that is sure is that old age really has its challenges. I can't talk like an 80-year-old like Pop is there, but I can talk as one that feels that I'm just on the threshold, and maybe I'm in the middle where I can look back, you know, quite clearly and see things as young, but I'm also at the point where I can see that I'm passing into another season, which they call old age. What is the challenge for a person that is aged? I'm not sure what Pop and Irvin would say. And I remember when we would go to Sturge Draft every now and then. We'd be missing here and we'd be in Sturge Draft with Dorothy's grandpa. And I could see some of his battles. I could look into his heart and see some of the things that he was struggling with. He felt like there were times that he felt like there's really nothing more for me to do here. He wanted to go on to glory, but God was keeping him here, and it was a travail in his soul. And he talked to us about that. I'd like to read in Psalms 92, verses 12 through 15. He says here in verse 12, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." So the title for the message is Fruit in Old Age. We do know that the different seasons, you know, we have come to the season of seed time. And the sisters look forward to just tilling that dirt and getting those seeds in there and then growing these vegetables and bringing them into the families. And they're so wonderful to partake of. Pop is one that just about can't wait sometimes to put his seeds in, and he's got this little thing up there beside the house with glass, you know, and he can plant his lettuce in there, and the first to have lettuce. I mean, we came through there even when it was still cold, and he had lettuce growing. And that's seed time. It's a time of the season when it is young, and the young people that are here, you know, when a baby is born, it comes from this seed, and it comes and it flourishes, and we look forward to the time when fruit is going to come from that. At first, a baby takes a lot of care, but later on, more and more, it can do more and more in helping with other children or helping the parents, and there's so much that they can learn, and it is an exciting time of life. It's like when life is starting up and things are on the way up. But when old age comes, you get the feeling that things are going down and so on. We look first at seed time, and then we look forward to harvest time. When the corn starts to die, the wheat starts to die, and the seeds are there, and then we run the machines through the fields, it's harvest time. It's also a good time when we are gathering in the fruits. But then winter comes. Then it is what? Winter time. Excuse me. And you even hear the expression that somebody can make sometimes, that old man winter is here. Why did they say that? Why did they call winter an old man? Old man winter is here. But when winter comes, it looks like everything is dying or is dead. The German songwriter says, "Die Welt ist wie ein Grab." Winter is like a grave. And here he says, fruit in old age. So my message to young, to old people today is that you are still, as long as you are here, the Bible would indicate that you're in your fruit-bearing stage all the way through until you are ushered into eternity. Fruit in old age. So what is there to do? During the winter, you know, we go into our homes and things shut down and it's cold out there and you go in for warmth, you know, within your house and things really shut down. But isn't there still a lot to do? A lot to be fruitful? There is. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. It says here that the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. There are some real secrets here in bringing forth fruit in old age. It is that we are to be planted in the house of the Lord. And when we are planted in the house of the Lord, we can't just fold our hands and be inactive in the house of the Lord. So there is so much that we can do to be fruitful in old age. In Ecclesiastes, it talks about all the different seasons. It says in chapter 3, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven." Every season we go through has a purpose. And we want to recognize that. How inspiring and how encouraging is it when you have an old man or an old woman, maybe I should say aged man and an aged woman. Maybe that sounds a little better, but we still want to face the facts. But when there is an aged person that is on up in years, when there is purpose in that heart, purpose in that life, and they realize that, how much of an encouragement is that? It really is to us younger people. When you see an aged person still has purpose, And it is a purpose that comes from God. And he says in verse 2, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. He goes on down in verse 11, and he says, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. What does this mean? At whatever time that God has you in your life, there is beauty there. He has made the aged people beautiful. They might not look as beautiful as some of these young people do. And it seems like the young people might be even more concerned about how they look and add things to their faces and all kinds of things, you know, to look even more appealing. But when age comes on, the importance of that to the regular way of thinking might be that it's even more important. But those things tend to become less important. Because as we get older, we realize more the things in life that really have value. The beautiful thing about an aged person is, like we talked about, when someone has purpose, that person has a beauty about themselves that you can't match because God is in it. And God has made that life beautiful. And young people do well to notice that, to respect that. Young people, if you want to be blessed, if you want God's blessing on your life, I'm sure you do. One thing that is very, very necessary is to respect old age. It is to respect that. If you have young people that do not respect old age, you're missing out a lot in life. And God is going to bring you to the point someday when you might dearly pay for that. But a young person that has a heart for the aged and respects age is a person that certainly can be used by God and has a real purpose in life and something to contribute to life. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. God has planted the world in every heart. And I believe what it's saying here, that there are things in life you can't get away from. We are in this world. There is gravity, and there is a lot of things that are facts in this world that we can't get away from. And he has planted this in every heart. He has planted eternity in every heart. Every heart that is here this morning, spiritually, is going to stay alive forever through eternity, be it in one place or the other. The soul never dies. Life does talk about spiritual death in this thing of going to hell. But they are going to be able to feel, and it's going to be horrible. The souls there are going to be tormented. So in one sense, it did not die. So God has planted the world the way he has made things, in every heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. And scientists can try as hard as they want to, but it seems like they just spin their wheels on and on, again and again. And that question that came up when Ken Ham was debating Bill, is there room for God in evolution? And the way that evolution is set up, the way those scientists look at things, they cannot God has no place in evolution. They cannot accept God. They have no room for it. If they would make room for God, it would be very obvious that there is a God. So the devil cannot have that happen. One thing we do want to recognize as far as old age is life becomes harder. Life as we know it becomes harder. And I'm experiencing that now. Here some time ago, I ran a hedge clipper over the hedges around our house. And the next day, I could feel it. Just not used to it. And there's a time when, depending what you do, it affects you more. And I know young people sometimes, when they use muscles that they don't use for a while, you know, it also, they can feel it. Like when you play ball and you just run. And I remember when I was young, I would play ball so hard that, you know, when I was done, my legs were kind of shaky. But when I could feel that my legs were kind of shaky, I knew what was coming. A couple of days later, you know, you almost had to put your hands down there to lift your feet if you needed to lift them. But how do you think it is for old age? If you young people go through that, how do you think grandpas and grandmas sometimes feel when there's things they need to do? And what about, you know, a young person does not feel this all the time, but an aged person can get to the point where they kind of feel this all the time. So life becomes harder for old age people. And when it is harder, it can tend to discourage. But there is something else within that heart that is beautiful. And when there is purpose in that life, it can sure tamp down some of the other hardships that old people face. Another thing we want to recognize: do we realize that we are on the devil's turf? I remember years ago, I read a book called Run Baby Run. And in there was about New York, the street gangs that were fighting with each other. And they had their different turfs. In other words, this is our territory right here along this street. And if you touch that territory, you're in trouble. You might get a bicycle chain wrapped around your head, or they were going to make you dearly pay. This is our turf, and you don't come on our turf unless you're invited. We know how it is when dogs can fight. A dog gets the feeling that this is my turf, and if there's another dog that comes on it, he's in trouble. And we do recognize that when another dog comes on our dog's turf, our dog can just fight a little harder than if he's on another dog's turf. Is that not so? I remember when we were young and we had dogs and they were fighting, it just made a difference if that dog was at home or if he was on another person's property. It just seemed like he just did not really have the heart to fight because he felt out of place. And maybe it's even like that in sports when you have a home team and they're playing on their home turf versus going somewhere else and playing. I don't know. But it just might be a little harder to swallow when someone else comes onto our turf and beats us. We don't like that. But the time came when God cast the devil, Satan, out of heaven. And where did he land? On the earth. And ever since, the devil has been acting just like this is his turf. It's God's turf, we know. But the devil claims it. And so now the devil goes through with a new boldness. And if he can discourage an aged person in his old age, if he can get him discouraged and depressed and feeling like there's no more purpose for me here, he has really made some inroads. That person cannot shine for Jesus. The person has difficulty bringing forth fruit in old age. So let's realize, and young people also realize, that we are on the devil's turf. Or in other words, by the devil's feeling. This is just home for the devil, so he is on the war path. And he is out to get everyone that he can. And he does it through depression and discouragement and so on. If he can just get old people to be discouraged, that's what he wants. We don't have a lot of time here. The Bible talks to us in Psalms 90, close to where we lifted out the title for this message. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and saith, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. This helps us to realize that life is short. So young people, there is a real message in here for you. So many times you hear this thing of you only have one life, so you need to enjoy it to the fullest. I'm going to do this thing while I've got the chance. And often it's used to live a life of carnality. You have just one life. You can't do this again. So go out there and enjoy it while you can. And that's exactly what the Bible says. You have only one life, so be sure that you live for your Creator. In Ecclesiastes, it says, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember thy Creator. Because he says the old age is coming. So that's why it's so important for young people to live a life for Jesus Christ, to live an unselfish life, to live a life where you are living for someone else. You're living for others instead of just yourself. But so often, you know, when you have a young person that is just living for self, they're wanting all the good things. And maybe they're getting a lot of those good things, but you know, the thing about it is, and this always holds true, a person that is out there just to live for himself and get all these good things and gather the good things in is never a happy person. At least not the joy in your heart that comes from Jesus Christ. It's exactly like the little fellows that have their toy box so full, they'll walk up to it and look at this full toy box, and they look in there and they see all these toys and they have no idea what they want. They don't know. Unhappy. But if there wouldn't even be a toy box and there'd only be one toy, I likely would be happier. So if we want to go through life, young people, and you want to enjoy yourself while you can before you get to the point where you can't enjoy yourself, that's really a lie. The fact is that a person that is aged can enjoy themselves. Don't let the devil tell you these lies that I've got to enjoy myself while I'm young, because when I'm old, I can't enjoy myself anymore. And I've got arthritis and, you know, all these aches and pains and things like that. That is not true. It is true that your outward man is going to perish and you will feel more aches and pains. But on the inside, you have this wonderful privilege, if you have a purpose in life, to shine more and more for Jesus. You know, one of the saddest verses in the Bible, or I feel, every time I read this, it just strikes me as one of the saddest verses in the Bible. And that is in 1 Kings chapter 11, where it says, "For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord, his God, as was the heart of David, his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Michorin, the abomination of the Amorites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after David, as did David his father." Solomon, when Solomon was old, his heart was turned away from God. That is so sad. Another sad verse is when the rich young ruler turned and walked away from Jesus. That's another sad verse in the Bible. It is always sad when you have a person that knows Jesus Christ, knows God, and they turn around and walk the other way. And I'm not saying that Solomon in his old age did not repent. Maybe he did. I hope he did repent. He was able to experience the glories of heaven. I do not know. But it certainly was a sad chapter in his life when he was turned away from his God. I'd like to sing a song in page 936 in our hymnals. It talks here about the old time religion. It talks here about a religion that is old time. What is like an old time religion? And it does tell us here as we go through this song. But an old time religion is a religion that has been around for a long time. It is a religion that is stable. It's not something new. But it's the way the fathers and mothers have believed. It goes back into the Old Testament, and it talks about being firmly connected to God and not letting some new thing come in here. Why is it that nowadays it seems so many people are wanting something new? They want something new and forget that the old time religion is the religion that is going to take us through. 936. 'Tis the old time religion, 'tis the old time religion, 'tis the old time religion, and it's good enough for me. Makes me love everybody, makes me love everybody, makes me love everybody, and it's good. It was good for Paul. it really good enough? It sure is. It is good for all of us. We don't need something new. We just need faithfulness in the old. And when we practice faithfulness in the old religion, it becomes new. It's that thing that becomes new for us every morning. And it stays new. It was good enough for the others, and it's sure good enough for us today. I'd like to turn to 406. There's another song here I'd like to sing. Faith of Our Fathers. It's one that I remember my grandfather hearing him sing, starting that song, and it rang so true for him. Faith of Our Fathers, something that is very necessary. 406. Sounds like fathers who had the old-time religion. In Philippians, the Apostle Paul says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Whenever I read this passage of scripture, it makes me think that the apostle Paul was packed with purpose. And he was reaching forth. He was pressing. Wasn't he aged at this point? It sounds to me like somebody that really had purpose, because the closer he got to the goal, the more he felt like he was coming into the presence of God for eternity. a person who has his eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and on the glory that's coming. How can you be discouraged and depressed? There's no room for that. There really isn't. He says then in another place, in Timothy, he says, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." Full proof of your ministry is all the way unto the end. It's not like a partial proof. It's not like proof to a certain point. But it goes all the way to the end. The work of an evangelist. Even an aged lady, a precious lady sitting in the back, just praying. That is a productive life. That is a life filled with purpose. That is the life of a person that is pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says, "For now I am ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but all unto them who that love his appearing." All those who are watching, ready and waiting for when he comes back with anticipation. And he says, "The time for my departure is at hand." The apostle had a vision here of what was coming because the fact of his faithfulness. And that is what we want from aged brethren and sisters more than anything, is still pointing to Christ and still having an active relationship there with their Lord and also with the church and with each other. So don't get the feeling that there is nothing more here for you to do. Because there is so much to do. If it is just for a young person to look at you and know that you are faithful and see that there is still vigor in that heart, even though if it's not in the outward physical, that is huge. That is making full proof of thy ministry, and it is the work of an evangelist. The time is here to close. Let's kneel to pray.